Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. The story I have for you today comes from deep in the realm of folklore. How much truth there is to this story, and how much of it has been made up over the years, is impossible to say. It is a lost gold story. Lost gold stories are chronically, let's just say stretched. And I haven't been able to find any of what I would call solid evidence for the story that I'm about to tell you. But it is definitely a piece of real live Oregon goldfield folklore. So I recommend that you take it as such. It could be true. It could also be a complete crock. What it is, unquestionably, is a great story. It's the story of some goldfield bandits whose stolen loot still hasn't been found. It seems the members of the dreaded Triscuit gang underestimated the citizens of Sailor's Diggins, and that became a fatal error when they went on a shooting spree downtown. But the $75,000 they stole has never been recovered. This story was first published on June 26, 2011. Here we go. After a former Oregon farmer found gold at Sutter's Mill in 1848 and started the California Gold Rush, people from Oregon raced southward to start grubbing it out of the ground. The next year, people from the East Coast raced westward with the same idea. By the year after that, it was getting to be hard to find a good patch of pay dirt that didn't already have a miner or two working it. New prospectors might spend years poking around little mountain creeks before finding one worth working, and prospecting was hard work. Increasingly, people started to realize that there were actually several different ways a fellow could work the diggings. One could look for the gold the old-fashioned way, of course, but one could also go into business selling stuff at inflated prices to prospectors. Many Oregon farmers got very rich this way. There was another way, too. One could simply make a $5 investment in one of those newfangled .44-caliber Colt Dragoon revolvers and then go find a successful miner and rob him. There was one particular group of frontier rowdies who opted to follow this last path. They were known as the Triscuit Gang. This name sounds a bit like a Disney movie from the late 1960s, doesn't it? Maybe a sequel to the Apple Dumpling Gang? But in reality, these guys were anything but lovable. They were named not after a yet-to-be-invented Nabisco snack cracker, but rather after brothers Jack and Henry Triscuit. In their little band were three other thugs, Fred Cooper, Miles Hearn, and Chris Slover. The story of the Triscuit Gang's last day is quite fuzzy. I haven't been able to track down a solid source for any of the details, like I said. I had hoped that a visit to the Josephine County Historical Society in Grants Pass would be helpful in firming up the details, but the Josephine County Historical Society folks have been looking for more details about this tantalizing story, too, and have pretty much reached the conclusion that there's not a whole lot there. That if not a complete fabrication, it is at least highly exaggerated, and I do believe they're probably right. It's been my experience that myths oftentimes are built on a platform of truth, which is sometimes difficult to find the grain-sized platform within the myth, and this may be one of those. It's definitely possible that the story has been exaggerated and distorted so much over the years of retelling that it's crossed the line from history to legend and that we'd just never know. But here's the gist of the story as it stands today. In early August of 1852, the Triscuiteros were on the run. They'd robbed a few people in California, as guys like them are wont to do, and were heading north with some armed, angry citizens on their tails, trying to lose themselves in the wilderness for a while. They arrived one afternoon in a little town called Sailor's Diggins, which today is a ghost town known as Waldo, about 5 miles north of the border with California, near the present-day town of Cave Junction. Sailor's Diggins was essentially an overgrown mining camp, but it was booming. At a time when the entire state of Oregon had fewer than 10,000 occupants, Sailor's Diggins was home to several thousand. The mountains nearby were especially rich, and on this particular day almost every able-bodied man was out there working them. Well, the five bandits quickly found the saloon, went inside, and started drinking their stolen gold. After a time, nicely sozzled, they wandered back out into the street. Probably they were contemplating the need to get out of Sailor's Diggins immediately. A town that size would be the first place a posse would check when trying to get a fix on them. Maybe it was this thought that made Fred Cooper snap. Bandits aren't known for self-discipline. Maybe he wanted, more than anything, to hang around that saloon all afternoon, doing some leisurely drinking and flirting and maybe hiring some female companionship for the evening. You know, all those things that bad guys dream about doing with their ill-gotten gains. Maybe he was standing there outside that nice little saloon just getting madder and madder at having to leave and plunge back into the woods and start poking around for a tree to sleep under. Maybe. Nobody knows, really. What is known is that instead of heaving a heavy sigh and heading for the city limits, Fred pulled his pistol and, without a word, gunned down a random citizen who was just walking down the street minding his own business. The rest of the gang leaped into action, if that's the right word. The five of them stormed down the street, simply killing everyone they saw. At least two women, legend has it, were raped as well. Then, as they were leaving town, they paused, hustled down to the assaying depot, and cleaned it out, roughly $75,000 worth of freshly mined gold. This they loaded onto two stolen horses and left town. Now, Sailor's Diggins was right in the middle of the mining action. Many of the miners could hear the gunfire and knew something was very wrong. By the time the Triscuit gang was leaving town, they were starting to arrive, probably with loaded weapons in hand. The 17 dead bodies still bleeding in the streets were their wives and children and aged relatives. You can imagine how they reacted to that. All it took was one well-hidden survivor to yell, "They went that away," and the chase was on. So, weighed down with almost 250 pounds of gold, the bandits weren't moving very fast, and the posse soon caught them up. The gang members must have been surprised at how quickly the angry citizens got on their tail. After a short pursuit, the bad guys turned at bay at the top of a little hill just outside O'Brien. I haven't been able to learn much of anything about the ensuing firefight. Presumably at least a few of the miners were killed. After all, the Triscuit gang were professional gunmen and were able to pick the place where they made their final stand. I also don't know if the bad guys tried to surrender. It's certainly possible they didn't. All they had to look forward to was humiliation and hanging, if they were lucky. In any case, when the shooting stopped, four gang members were dead, one was dying, and there was no sign anywhere of the 250 pounds of gold that they had jacked from the depot. To this day, that gold has never been recovered, or rather, if it has, whoever found it was remarkably discreet about it. Treasure hunters still come to the O'Brien area to look for it. Most of them assume the gang hid it somewhere on the hill where they made their stand. But it seems far more likely, doesn't it, that they just squirreled it away earlier when they first realized they were being pursued? It's a lot harder to run from an angry posse when you're leading a pack horse or two. If that's the case, it could be almost anywhere in the woods between Waldo and O'Brien, probably within a few dozen yards of the road. The stash would be worth about $5.5 million today. That is, if it exists. Because when it comes to lost gold stories, you really never know. Well, that's it for our show for today. This show is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a daily RSS feed to catch on your smartphone reader, a Facebook page, a Twitter feed, and a couple other minor components. Photographs and other images that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources used in writing this story, along with more than 200 other articles written over the last 5 years, all organized by date of publication. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, and was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do Offbeat Oregon for learning and for fun, so I don't sell advertising or ask for donations, but if you feel a need to make a donation anyway, may I suggest that you buy a copy of my book instead? It's called Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town, published by the History Press in 2012. You can order it from the store link on offbeatoregon.com if you'd like, but if you still have a local community bookstore in your town, I hope you'll consider buying it from them instead. It sells for $20. Finally, if you're ever in Corvallis, drop me a line. Maybe we can grab a cup of coffee and talk about history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Don't be a stranger, especially don't be a stranger if you have a good idea for one of these columns in the future. Speaking of the future, our next show will be coming your way at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.